This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. What comes to mind when you think of French baking? Maybe colorful macarons or a buttery chocolate croissant, fancy stuff in a fancy store, and maybe complex and fussy recipes. Our next guest says those are great, but they're not the kinds of sweets you see a lot of French people baking at home. She says home cooks in France have simple classics they've learned to master, and she says you can do it too. Maybe even I can do it. You could join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite French dessert? Have you ever attempted baking inspired by people in France? Maybe it's part of your own family's background. Call in with your thoughts, your experiences, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Alexandra Crapanzano is a James Beard Award-winning writer and dessert columnist for The Wall Street Journal. She's the author of multiple cookbooks, including her latest, Gâteau, The Surprising Simplicity of French Cakes. Alexandra, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, sometimes I read a book and I think this is really targeted very narrowly at me, because I think exactly what you are trying to overcome here, that, oh, French bakery stuff, it's fancy and it's too hard to make. Open our eyes to this world of French home baking.
You know, I spent a lot of my childhood in France, and I moved there when I was 10, and I would go over to, you know, kids' houses, and I would usually see a really simple cake on the counter. It could be a yogurt cake. It could be their version of a pound cake, which was a 4/4. It could be a honey cake, an almond tort. I mean, all sorts of good, but, you know, really very simple, one layer. Nothing too fussy, not a lot of decoration, not overly sweet, but incredibly, incredibly good. And, you know, and I kind of guess learned really firsthand that, you know, the French, when they want something really intricate and fancy, they will go to a pâtisserie and they will leave it to the pros, the guys and women who have spent, you know, 12 years apprenticing and another 5 years in culinary school and really, really know how to make those incredibly designed, beautiful, intricate pastries. But at home, they'll do what we do everywhere, which is to bake something simple.
And a common theme in your cookbook is people seem to master some basics and then they play with it and they do a lot of fun variations once they've gotten the basics. Can you talk about that attitude toward baking?
Absolutely. So it starts in maternelle, which is kindergarten. And I think in the same way that we have the Toll House cookie recipe, right? I mean, the chocolate chip cookie is the American icon. In France, at the age of 5 in school, you are literally taught how to make a yogurt cake. And the yogurt cake is so simple because you take the little jar that yogurt comes in, which is always the same size in France, and you dump it into a bowl, and then you use that empty yogurt jar to measure the flour and the sugar and some oil, and you add eggs and you just stir it with a whisk and pour it into the pan and boom, it's done. And so you know, by the time you are, you know, 6, you've actually made a cake. And for the rest of your life, you can really riff on that recipe. And I've seen people of all ages make these basic cakes. And then what they do, because they have these recipes really, really ingrained in their head, I mean, it's almost like muscle memory, then they get to play with it. Then they get to riff. So they can, you know, you can throw in whatever fruits in season, you can throw in nuts, you can toss some chocolate chips and a little bit of flour and add those. You can add a little rose water, orange blossom water. If you want something boozy, you can make a little kind of soaking syrup with some Grand Marnier or some cognac, or, you know, even bourbon, whatever, rum, coffee. It's having those basics really just lets you play with them for the rest of your life. And because you know the basics, and because you know that you're never going to have trouble with these recipes, you get to do it very, very casually. You know, people can make these cakes while you're, you know, talking on the phone and, you know, doing 3 other things at the same time, which I love.
And Alexandra, you shared a few recipes with us. We've got them at WPR.org/Food Friday, including that yogurt cake, that starter one we were just talking about. And I got to say, I was looking at the book and I like flipped the page, like, that's it. You actually have 2 versions of it on the same page. It can be that simple and it doesn't take a lot of time, right?
Exactly. It takes 5 minutes at most to put together. And then, you know, depending on what pan you bake it in, you can bake it in an 8-inch round, a 9-inch round, a loaf pan. You can make it into muffins if you want yogurt muffins in the morning too, and add some chopped apples, which is great. Some cinnamon, even do a little cinnamon sugar on top, which is great for the season.
One thing I love about this, you mentioned a few moments ago that often these French homemade cakes are not as sweet as a lot of our treats in the United States. And I love a sweet treat, but sometimes I like something that's not so in-your-face sweet. That's a pretty common trend, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And I think it's why the French can actually eat dessert every day. And
so, oh, you know, yeah.
Is that they're not having, you know, cakes with an inch of icing. But I think it really comes down to a belief that food, whether it's savory or sweet, should be nuanced. And so they don't want sugar to be the predominant flavor, right? Because if you take a bite of something that is super, super sweet, your mind immediately reads sugar. And what they really want you to do is read whatever it is that the cake is featuring. So if that's apple, they want you to taste apple. If it's hazelnut, hazelnut. If it's chocolate. You know, it's really about making sure that the sugar never kind of upstages the other ingredients. And I love that because it also means that suddenly you're tasting the real appleness of an apple at an apple cake, or you're suddenly getting that little tiny pucker in a raspberry. And so the food is incredibly satisfying. These recipes are kind of flavor forward, and you don't miss the sugar.
We're talking to Alexandra Crapanzano, author of the new cookbook, Gâteau, The Surprising Simplicity of French Cakes. We've got a few recipes from Alexandra over at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's check out, Alexandra, another one of those recipes, the childhood cake. Now, you'll notice I'm saying the English names. I don't want to offend speakers of the French language. I butcher French pronunciations. You could share them if you want, but tell us about this childhood cake, please.
So this is a recipe I really love. And actually, there's a whole range of recipes in this book and in France called Le Gâteau de Mamie, which basically means, you know, grandmother's recipes. And they create massive nostalgia in people so that you will see, you know, you will see 80-year-olds eating this and just big smiles on their faces. But what I love about this one is it's such a simple one. It almost tastes a little bit like a creamsicle if a creamsicle were really pure and not too sweet or artificial, but that nice flavor. But the secret to this is great. It's you butter your pan and then you actually sprinkle it with a fair amount of sugar. You can do this with a raw sugar, which creates a little bit more crunch, or granulated sugar. And that means that when you actually bake this incredibly simple dessert, the exterior, the surface, just has that kind of great slightly crispiness to it, but really, really thin. But it's just got a great texture because underneath that is a very, very moist orange cake, essentially. So it's an absolutely fantastic combination. I love it. I mean, I would say that's like one of the great starter recipes.
I wanted to ask about one of the ingredients that you say is key to a lot of these, and that's butter. Butter makes a frequent appearance. You can use, I guess, any butter, but is there any kind of special butter that really adds a layer to these things?
You know, if you can buy a European butter or an American butter that is has a higher degree of fat, it makes an enormous difference. All of these recipes are actually tested with, you know, American Land O'Lakes butter, so really easy to work with whatever you've got. But for cakes that are really butter focused, like there's a great Breton butter cake in which butter is actually the predominant flavor. This is very, very French, right? And French butter just contains a higher degree of fat, and that also means it contains a smaller percentage of water. So you're just getting a more butteriness of that butter, which I have to say is kind of great. And then they also use a lot of browned butter. So they will cook butter over medium heat in a wide kind of frying pan until it gets to be the color of hazelnuts, and it will actually also smell of hazelnuts. And this just gives another layer of depth to whatever they're cooking. It's such an amazing trick. You can do all sorts of things with brown butter.
I know there are some people out there listening who avoid gluten for one reason or another, at least one here on the Central Time team. Are some of these French cakes gluten-freeable?
100%. So the French love cooking with nut flours. So there's a whole chapter on nut torts, and those are gluten-free. So there's pistachio, there's hazelnut. I mean, I actually have a pine nut cake somewhere else that's not gluten-free, but is really good. Almond cakes, many different kinds of almond cakes. So, you know, they tend to not call cakes gluten-free, but they do make an enormous number of these great just really simple kind of one layer nut torts that are all gluten-free. And then, you know, then there's everything to do with meringues, which are gluten-free, right? So a pavlova, which is, you know, almost like a great big dish that's made with meringue that's filled with whipped cream and has topped with lots of fruit. That, of course, you know, is basically egg whites and sugar. So that is absolutely gluten-free. And they make another cake called a décoise, which is also made with layers of meringue that sandwich a mousse. It could be a chocolate mousse. It could also be a kind of spiked creme chantilly. It could be all sorts of things. But again, these are great variations, and they're just naturally gluten-free. And just so they're not replacing anything. They're just naturally that way.
And just our last minute, you mentioned a lot of people feel, you know, nostalgia growing up with these cakes. You mentioned spending your childhood in France. Is there one that really takes you back?
Oh my gosh. I have a thing for chocolate. I'm sure there are a couple of, you know, and it was funny writing this book because there's a large chocolate chapter in the book. And then I realized there's chocolate in pretty much every chapter in the book as well. But there's a cake called a Gâteau Suzy, which is just so simple and so fantastic. And it does have a couple tablespoons of flour. So it's not flourless. It has a little bit more structure, but it is a really, really rich chocolate cake. Again, not too sweet. They use a dark chocolate. They're not adding too much sugar. So when you bite into it, you're really getting that chocolate sensation. And so that's my rosebud. Definitely.
Awesome. Alexandra, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
My pleasure.
That's Alexandra Crapanzano, James Beard Award-winning writer and dessert columnist at the Wall Street Journal. We talked to her today about her latest cookbook. It's called Gâteau, The Surprising Simplicity of French Cakes. You can find a few recipes from Alexandra over at wpr.org/foodfriday. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Dean Kinetter joins me. Listeners, that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
It is a great time to give because it's $5 Friday. That means you can ask for the WPR tote bag when you give $5 a month today. Support the programs you value, and you'll be broadcasting your love for Wisconsin and your favorite radio station with this awesome tote bag. This offer is available today only, though, so give now.
Hey, Dean, you know how easy it is to give?
How easy is it?
It's a piece of cake, Dean.
Oh, my. That's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. That one I just came up with. I haven't been plotting that all day. Now, but seriously, this was a fun Food Friday conversation, exactly what I always hope to hear from Food Friday. This is stuff that I think if you're, you know, I'm an okay cook. I'm not like a cooking genius, a super foodie, but this is stuff I could take home and use and do. These recipes we've got at wpr.org/foodfriday, practical things that we can use in our own kitchens to make awesome food. This is the kind of conversation you can count on here on Food Friday.
Definitely. It makes it seem accessible and frankly inspired me. Maybe I'm going to try out that yogurt cake this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Really
I want to try that.
A little bit of orange flavor in there. Delicious. WPR, all these conversations are listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all these topics you tune in for possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make that gift.
Today is $5 Friday. Ask for the new WPR tote bag when you give $5 a month or more. This USA-made cotton tote features a vibrant navy and orange design, and it celebrates the stuff you love about WPR, the high-quality news, talk, and entertainment with a Wisconsin perspective. This special $5 offer only available today, so give $5 a month or more. Ask for your tote bag right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I wake up to Wisconsin Public Radio. The alarm goes off. It's better than a snooze alarm for me because I get to hear a lot of interesting things, especially in the car. If it's not public radio, I'll turn on some golden oldies for a while, but then you heard the same song 75,000 times, you get tired of it. Maybe try some country western, but mostly I keep going back to public radio because there's always new stuff. I'm John Ink from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is my source for a clear view of the world.
If you have that appreciation for Wisconsin Public Radio, you can help make it happen when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's the Fall Member Drive on Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Dean Kinetter. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you count on. That's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference.
We hear from a lot of first-time donors who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college, or people who have turned 30 and realized, hey, I'm grown up now, I can support WPR.
Giving money to something you believe in, a service you rely on, is a great way to mark a new phase of your life. A lot of first-time donors will give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose the amount that's right for you. Then go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And it's going to feel great when you do it, too. Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. WPR is one place where that's true every single day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
It's hard to buy a lot for $2, but at WPR, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. Works out to $60 a month. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A big thanks to everyone who's given this hour. We've got a couple more minutes if you want to join in. Your gift is really important. It makes Central Time and all the other shows here possible. You can join in at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Show off your love for WPR and for Wisconsin while you run errands, head to work, or carry library books. Today only, ask for the new WPR tote bag when you give $5 a month for the WPR news and entertainment you count on. Online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Could have used that tote this weekend, Rob. I was at the farmer's market.
Oh.
I was carrying mushrooms and cider and all sorts of stuff. Didn't have a bag.
You needed a tote.
I needed the tote, and this is a good-looking tote, too. So it's a great day to give it, to get it, $5 Friday. Your gift is going to pick up that tote and make sure that these great programs are here well into the future. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the last weekday of this member drive. Last chance to give during Central Time. Make your gift right now online at WPR.org. It'll take you really just 2, 3, maybe 4 minutes, or you can call 888-202-2552 to make your gift to WPR.